Go over to 1 Timothy. We'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God as we read just together these two verses, chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. And this all actually ties in quite nicely to what we've been talking about. And tonight I'll be kind of wrapping up the idea of the value of church membership. Let's read together these verses out loud, beginning in verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. There are, of course, many different sermons that could come from all of this, if you will. But I believe it's time to kind of wrap this up and move on to another topic. And so just in conclusion, last week we talked about basically the Christian dress code, or what it means to look like a Christian, act like a Christian, behave like a Christian. And we discussed these things about dress. We discussed things about, if you will, our biblical modesty, but also our attitude toward being modest, or if you will, being what God created us to be. And so I want to make mention of some of these things. Brother Joel, you know, he likes to define people. I'm one of those note takers. Okay? So I actually have outline forms of Brother Joel's messages. And the guys that talked about the different youth pastors that spoke on the morning devotionals. And I even have some more points that they didn't have because they're going through. And I think of points to add that I would like to emphasize, etc. It doesn't mean that they did a bad job putting their outline together. Just mine's better. And so I have to throw that in there because it's always it's kind of a. Now, one of them I actually did Brother Joel did like. He was talking about the prodigal. Was missing some things. There was a partner missing. We don't hear anything about the mother in the prodigal's story. And maybe if she wasn't missing in her influence, he maybe wouldn't have been a prodigal. That's just kind of an idea. There was a protest missing. When the son went off into the far country, nobody really said anything. They just let him go. But maybe if somebody would have stood up and said something, maybe he wouldn't have been a prodigal. He said there was maybe a pastor missing. We don't see any spiritual influence that caused him to turn the other direction or not to go off into the far country. He said there was the public missing. Nobody in his community or his family said anything about him leaving. And then that's where Brother Joel kind of left off. And I said, there's one more. He missed a chance at alliteration. So I said, there's a perspective missing. He wanted to go into the far country thinking it would be better than what he had at the father's house. And so the son had to go through the world's ringer, if you will, to finally see his worth to the father and the value of a good home and family to change his perspective. So just, you know, some fun things there. But that was one of the messages. And I think that was the message Lorelai and Mindy were talking about. Having tears over that evening. And by the way, I'm glad they had tears over some of those things. That means it's reaching us in the deepest of ways. But the other night, Brother Joel was talking about things that are missing. He talked about the missing king. David was not missing physically. He was missing spiritually. And by the way, that has to do with what we've been talking about, the value of church membership. We need to show people the value of being spiritually present. That we're gonna be willing to live how God wants us to live. He was missing from the classroom because of his choices. He couldn't teach others about God's character. Folks, if we're not willing to live God's character, how can we teach people about God's character? He couldn't teach about God's conversion because he wasn't living as a converted Christian. He couldn't teach people about God's consolation because he was living in sin. And he wasn't able to experience the consolation of God because he was still against God in his sin. And so, by the way, folks, we as Sunday school teachers or leaders in the church, if you will, how can we teach people if we do not live these things in our lives? Brother Joel said he was missing from the choir. He couldn't sing praise unto God because of his sin. His sin keeps you silent, folks. You're not able to sing. He couldn't sing because of his guilt. He couldn't sing because of his unrepentance. And so he was missing from, he was the sweet psalmist of Israel. And because of his sin, he couldn't sing the song of praise to his God. And then he was missing from the conversation. He couldn't speak up because of his shame. He couldn't speak up because of his hypocrisy. He couldn't speak up because of his unholiness. And because nobody would listen to him. He had no voice because of his poor testimony. And so that was just one of that was the opening service that we had at camp. And by the way, I think it goes along beautifully with what we've been talking about as an example, as a member of Lighthouse Baptist Church. We need to be growing in our levels of commitment to the Lord as we mature as a Christian. We're going to take your Bibles and turn to Philippians 1. I'm going to go through some of these others. Brother Garrett, who is the youth pastor down at Bible Baptist in Rendon, talked about the passage of Scripture where Jesus said, will ye go away also? He talked about, will you walk away? Will you walk away from consuming God's Word? Will you walk away from following God's Word? Will you walk away from desiring God's Word? And you know, the problem is, instead of consuming God's Word, we consume the world and the things of the world, and therefore the love of the Father cannot be in us. Following God's Word, we follow the ways of the world and the worldly ways instead of the wisdom of God. And then the problem is we desire the worldly lusts instead of desiring God and the things of God and the things of that the God's Word says we're supposed to desire. Brother Joel began on Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, and Thursday morning, he talked about the game plan for biblical modesty and just keeping a modest life. And he started off with saying that in order to have a game plan, we've got to read the rule book. How can you have a game plan to play a game that you don't know anything about? I mean, you need to know the objective, you need to know the rules, you need to know how to win. Who likes to play a game and not win? Okay, you'll always be a loser. No, just kidding. By the way, Orange Team, I just want you to know that you did get second place. Absolutely. And second place is always the first loser. So there you go. Never forget that. There. That's a great principle. You got to read the book. You got to know the rules. You got to know the game. You know, why do they call these people professional athletes? Because they know the game. And they've gotten to a place where they're professional at it. Hey, why don't we be professional Christians? How about that? We should know this book inside and out. We should know every aspect of the game, how to win, it's not cheating, but how to gain an advantage. You know, the better you know the rules, the better you know you can have an advantage over the opponent because you know the rules better than they do. And so you need to implement the principles, execute the standards, convictions, and philosophies so that you can be what you need to be in the game. And by the way, life is, if you will, not a game, but it is a game. This is what we are doing. We ought to do our best at it. And so he says that we need to have this as the foundation of things. And then he went on to 10 different things that he talked to the kids about. He said, look, if you're going to win or be successful at this thing of Christian modesty, and by the way, it is more than just dressed. More than just dress. It's more than just appearance, but appearance is part of it. Okay? It is our heart. It is our behavior. It is our, if I like the word conversation. It's how we show people who and what God is. But we need to avoid places of temptation. like the theme of camp. Don't even go there. We need to recognize the places not to go. Look, if I'm playing football and I'm on offense, I should want to run directly into the teeth of the defense, right? No, I don't even want to go there. So if I'm a wide receiver, which is a position that I enjoy playing, because I was a little bit faster in my younger years, you know what? I want to run my route so that I am where the defender is not, so I can get the ball, right? I don't want to run right into the defender. That's not the goal. I want to avoid him, right? And so, listen, what we should want to learn to avoid the places of temptation. Why do you think God tells us so much about the snares of the devil and the temptations that he puts out there so that we can avoid them? He says, flee also youthful lust, right? We've been talking about that on Sunday mornings. And so he said, avoid places, avoid the times of temptation, avoid those who are not dressing the right way. Why would you want to be associated with them? He did mention, this is all coming from Proverbs chapter 7, where Solomon says he was able to see this. But there's another one here. This is the one John was talking about. Avoid those who dress immodestly. We are to dress appropriately for the vocation that we're trying to accomplish and the person we're trying to please. Who are we trying to please? God. And what vocation are we trying to accomplish? God's work. So we should dress accordingly. If you're involved in dealing with toxic waste, you should wear a hazmat suit. You just should. I don't recommend flip-flops and shorts and a t-shirt when dealing with waste. Brother Frankie, how would you like to go work with Synagro with flip-flops, Bermuda shorts, and a tank top? No, thank you. Yeah, exactly. If you want to know what Brother Frankie used to do for a profession, you can ask him later, okay? When I was a janitor at the hospital, I had to clean in the ER. Do you understand that in the ER, there are people that are, you know, things are kind of sometimes spraying everywhere. And you know what? When I got one of those calls, there was one call. I think I shared this with somebody the other day. There was one call. I got called to one of the rooms, the hospital rooms. And all I got when I got up there, I was a janitor. I was an environmental control specialist. That was my title. I was a janitor. And I got called up there. So I come up there and I'm like, yes, you guys called. And they just pointed. They didn't even say anything. They just pointed. They pointed to this room and I walked toward the room and I could smell. And I walked into the room and I went, whoa. And of course, this was a small little bathroom in the room there. And I looked around and I'm like, whoa. And then I went, how did it get up there? Do you know that I did not clean that room with my regular attire. I went and got a hazmat suit and put it on to clean. You know, you got to wear what's required for the vocation. And you know what? We're ambassadors for Christ. We ought to wear that which is pleasing to the Lord. And by the way, that's so very good. But Brother Joel said, we ought to wear things that are unquestionable. There should be no question that we're a Christian. We ought to wear things that make us distinct. We should stick out. Men should look like men. Women should look like women. And things. And then he said it should be unquestionably Christian. Why would you want to celebrate or promote the world in your dress? Fashions, designers, brands. Hey, you say it doesn't matter. It does matter. We shouldn't be promoting brands and have, you know, a big rock, you know, concert name scrawled across our shirts or, you know, wicked slogans or things. Why would you as a Christian want to promote that kind of stuff? And by the way, all of this goes along with what we've been talking about in church. I told Brother Joel, I said, have you been watching our YouTube or our Facebook videos? He said, no. So I think God wants us to make sure we have all this down. Brother Joel preached on that. I'm going to get to the rest of these. He said, avoid those that cannot keep themselves to themselves. He said, keep your hands to yourself. By the way, we teach our nursery kids that from the time that they're in the nursery. It just works that way. It's the best thing to do. Avoid those that wear a cloak of spirituality. They pretend to be something that they're not. You remember the Pharisees? Who did Jesus have the most trouble with in his ministry? The religious crowd. Those that were whited sepulchers. He said to avoid those who talk suggestively. And if somebody wants to try to tell you a dirty joke, why do you want to be around them? And by the way, girls, why do you want to be around young men that are suggesting things? And young men, why do you want to be around girls that are suggesting things that they shouldn't be suggesting? We're supposed to be pure in our thoughts, in our minds, in our talk, in everything that we are supposed to be pure in. He said, avoid those that associate sin with love. You know, if you really loved me, you would do this. Nope. That's not true. They're just trying to get something for nothing. Avoid those people. He got real particular with the teenagers there. He said, avoid those that go behind the back of authority. You don't want people that try to circumvent authority in your life. You want, and God teaches us to love authority. And because he's the authority. And he's put authorities in our lives. And then he said, to avoid those that use flattery to get what they want. You know, the devil always has that smooth tongue, right? I mean, he'll tell you anything you want to hear to get you what he wants you to do. Or to get you to not do what God wants you to do. Folks, manipulation, people that use manipulation to get what they want, they're the people you don't want to be with. You want to avoid those people. And so I said all that to say this, and I'm just going to wrap this up here. You're there in Philippians. Look at chapter 1 and verse 9. Look at verse 9, chapter 1. Paul says this, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. You understand, that is our edict as a Christian. Folks, that's what it means to be a Sunday school teacher. That's what it means to be a nursery worker. That's what it means to be a church member. That's what it means to be an altar worker, an usher, a children's church worker, a bus worker. Anything that you do in the church should be to the glory of God. And you should do it to the fullest and to the best that you possibly can. As we kind of, like I said, close the page on this, and I wanted to tie it into camp, but we need to be doctrinally sound, personally separated. We should have the attire of a biblical Christian. We should look like a Christian, act like a Christian, talk like a Christian, live like a Christian everywhere, at church and at home. We should participate in organized outreach. We should maintain regular contact with people. We should be informed. We should be on time. We should be prepared to teach. We should communicate with one another. In other words, we should be a good Christian. Because all of that is what a good Christian is. Or is to become. You see, that's level 4. Some of those things are not mentioned in the earlier levels because we know that people are growing. People are developing. People are maturing in Christ. But you know what? I'll go back to what Brother Joel said. We need to have a game plan. Start at level 1. Grow to level 2. Grow to level 3. Grow to level 4. And become all that you can be for God. But it ought to be a steady process. And if you get to level 4, find a level 5. All right? And try to reach that. But we need to be not become a castaway. Brother Coster talked about being submitted to the will of God, having complete love for God, and heed the warnings given in the scriptures.
Brother Joel talked about prayer and unlocking the weapon of prayer. And I don't have time to re-preach over 40 messages on prayer that I preached last year. But Brother Joel did a great job. He said, we need to ask, we need to seek, we need to knock. The F in to whom that asketh receiveth, and him that not seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. That just means continually without stopping. We need to weep and pray, fast and pray, watch and pray. I got to add one to these to that because in the Luke account of watch and pray, we hear Jesus say, rise and pray. That's another one, teenagers, you can add to your list. But those are things that we need to do. And then Joel said, talking about making sure you carry around the heads of those giants that you defeat. I know that sounds gross, but it's really cool. And he even described how Goliath's hair was probably all, you know, he probably had like dreadlocks and stuff, and so just probably all nasty and greasy and all that, you know, because he's an uncircumcised Philistine. And so he grabbed him by the hair there. And you know, I'm sure that Goliath's sword was sharp, but you know, whenever you cut through the neck of an animal or something like that, you know, it's kind of hard because you got those things that just kind of dangle and hang out of there, you know, and just shaking it around and just kind of splattering and, you know, and then it becomes like Travis after a couple of days. And you should vacuum seal it in a bag and put it in a box. And put it in the ground, all right? But you know, carrying those, holding those heads high, it discourages the enemy. It says, if you come around here, I'm chopping your head off. It encourages the brethren. Say, look what we did with God's power. It challenges ourselves to get more heads, right? To win more battles. And then it challenges others to win the victory along with you. And did I do a good job of taking notes, teenagers? Did you do okay? You could I'll sell copies of it to you for a small price. But you know what? I thought how appropriate this last week of camp was, because it's really been echoing the things I've been talking about on Sunday nights about the value of church membership and being a good testimony, a good example. And as we grow and mature, and if you will, age, we have other generations of Christians following after us that need to keep on keeping on. But we've got to stay the course, and we've got to finish our course with joy, and we've got to value church membership so that they'll value church membership, and we've got to have a game plan so that they'll have a game plan, and we need to stay pure so that they'll stay pure, and we need to teach so that they'll learn and that they can teach. And it's just all associated with this levels of leadership. It's all associated with the policies and procedures of how a church is supposed to be. It all just marries together so nicely. And I'm so thankful for camp. I'm so thankful for the teens. I'm so thankful for Brother and Mrs. Dart. And I'm even thankful for Brother Michael and Miss Angelina. And I'm certainly thankful for Robin. We love Robin. Robin's been fantastic. I agree. Whoever said that Robin was the favorite. Okay, Lorelli. Thank you, Lorelli. And I appreciate that. And I'm never going to call her Lorelei again. I'm going to call her Lorelli. And it just sounds good. And but these folks invest so much. And I love to see that. And that's what moving up in the levels of leadership of our church is all about. Investing in the next generation. And watching these teenagers grow past, you know, thanks for the food. Thanks for helping us get to camp. And then they say, all of these have matured. Even some of these boys have matured some. Because they said something spiritual. I love that. That's great. But you know, they begin to be affected by these things. And that means that we have a chance. There's light at the end of the tunnel. To keep this thing going for the Lord. To seeing the next generations of this world. Folks, the darkness it seems like it's getting darker. And we've got to keep shining that light out there, warning people of impending judgment, warning people of hell. And I'm so glad these commitments that these kids made about being a better soul winner, being more fervent in soul winning, praying more for people to be saved, because that's the key. We've got to keep winning people to Christ. And we've got to keep putting that light out there, saying that there is a judgment, there is a hell, there is a lost condition, and you need to be saved. And that's what this church is all about. That's what being a good altar worker is all about. That's what being a good nursery worker is all about. That's what being a good children's church worker and usher and Sunday school teacher and part of the choir and all the different things. That's what it's all about, because there's great value to the Christian life and being a member of a local church.